Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming from our studios in New York City. I'd like to welcome you. You can watch today's program by going to Progressive Radio Network Facebook. We're going to talk about how healthy foods are more important than the type of diet if you want to reduce your risk of heart disease. Who says? Beth Israel Medical Center. We also have about 15 major articles today on health-related issues. We're also going to continue with our in-depth, ongoing investigative reporting series to challenge the supremacy and legitimacy of Wikipedia. What do I mean? I mean that the most viewed and probably used encyclopedia in the world is the online encyclopedia Wikipedia. Well, if that's all you know about it, then you're going to trust the information that it imparts. And some of the information, I'm sure, is accurate. But when it comes to health issues, any form of health issue involving you wanting to know would an alternative or non-toxic approach work, a non-medical approach, like acupuncture or chiropractic or meditation or body-mind medicine or alternative medicine, every single one is condemned by a group of people who have no background, no experience, no clinical experience, no research experience, no academic research experience in the field that they're acting as if they're experts on. Wow. This could be the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on health issues to the American and world public. So we're that tiny little fire ant that's going to go into the ear of that giant Tyrannosaurus Rex of Wikipedia, supported by Google, another one, and we're going to cause a little irritation because we believe that in order for us to challenge then this inequality, this misinformation, this fake news that is on Wikipedia and Google and Facebook and their censorship of the truth, we need to become proactive. So we have published, I think, around, I haven't asked. I'm going to ask now Jesse to count how many articles we have on Wikipedia thus far. Today, we're going to take them on the subject of homeopathy. And why? Because homeopathy saves lives. It helps improve conditions. It's non-toxic. It's all natural. It's 200 years of experience using it. And they say it's all nonsense. We'll push back. Also today, we're going to take a look at that Alexa. I didn't have a chance yesterday because we were so busy with other issues. But think twice before you say, gee whiz, isn't it better to have convenience? What's the weather today? And Alexa says, the weather. And play some music that I like, my favorite 10. And it does. What about all the conversations you're having? What if you're angry about something? What if you're arguing with a relative, a partner, a child? What if you're having sex in your bedroom? Everything you're doing in that environment, Alexa is recording and sharing in real time with thousands of real people, and then they're cataloging everything. Why? Did you know that? Have we gotten to a place in our society where we don't care if every single thing in our history is known to authority figures? And why do you believe that we have no pushback, no demonstrations, no discussion anywhere on the idea that we are now living in, for all intents and purposes, a police state? Now, if you happen to be a person that goes to work, has a family, come back, enjoy yourself, you say, I don't care. I haven't done anything wrong. You don't have to do anything wrong for them to pay attention to you or to find something you thought was okay and they say it's not. Do you really want everything that you've ever written or read, every movie you've gone to, wherever you travel every day, logged in so they can analyze you and your patterns? Not a good idea. Are you going to get the chip that's going to be mandatory? Are you going to take all the adult mandatory vaccines? I really hope they start in the state of New York and the state of California that thought nothing about thinking that children, babies, infants, should be mandated to have toxic vaccines and increase the risk of death in those poor, innocent children because of the lack of interest in the truth of science, that the greatest health fraud in American history is vaccination. They don't have the science on their side, but they have politics and they have the media. They have a complicit media. So what does it say about us? So here's a question I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to take your calls later on the program. So think and then respond, please. We have gotten to a place where no one is protesting anything. Little groups, little tiny group will protest environmental issues. But all the big issues, no one is protesting Citizens United. No one's protesting taking all the money out of elections so we can actually have fair elections, where average people could get elected and serve the public. Now, the billionaires, the oligarchy, the permanent political class, they choose someone who's going to be a compliant person like the Clintons or Obama or Bush, and then they get them elected. The media helps getting them elected, but enormous wealth gets them elected. Doesn't matter that they're terrible for the job. No one's held accountable before they get in or after they get out. So nobody's protesting. Nobody's protesting the wars around the world and having 900 military bases. And no one's protesting the astronomical profit taking out of medicine, where we should have and could have, easily have, Medicare for all, including those who want their own private insurance. You could have both. No one's protesting. Major corporations pay no taxes, actually get refunds, and are subsidized. The biggest welfare in America doesn't go to poor people with food stamps or subsidized housing. No, it goes to multinational corporations. Nobody's protesting. Nobody's protesting the Glass-Steagall Act and putting it back into effect. Nobody's protesting the equity partnerships, taking over corporations, loading them with debt, and then causing entire chains to go out of business with all those thousands of workers unemployed because a few rich people, and one who used to run PBS, that should surprise nobody how political it's become. Nobody protests. Nobody protests the offshoring of jobs. Nobody protests the importing of toxic foods. Nobody protests the global warming, except a few people in the field. More often than not, they're associated with green consumerism, meaning Al Gore and the rest are making enormous amounts of money off convincing you there's only one approach to the environment, and they're always on the wrong side of the issue. You could do more to stop global warming, more to protect our environment, if we planted trees and stopped eating meat. Just those two things. That's something we could do. No one's doing any of that, except a few of the vegans who are alive and doing this today. So you see, I could name 100 issues that there's not a single protest in the world. Why? What have we become? Why do we allow this kind of corruption? Why do we allow papers like the New York Times even to be purchased, let alone read? It's been so captured and corrupted. So this is a question about, have we gone beyond a point of redemption? Is our only way of paying attention is when systems collapse and we're victims of a monetary system that's going to collapse? Just look at the pound falling in to 121. Against the dollar. Look at the dollar collapsing against other currencies, and it's only being held up because China has not yet become the world's leading manufacturer, but will in the next 24 months. Look at what's happening everywhere, where people can't pay off their debts, student debt, credit card debt, and look at the gouging of commercial real estate. I was walking around the Upper West Side last night after seeing a worthless movie. It was Harold is this great environmental film about water. Oh, my God. As a filmmaker, I just got up and walked out of the theater, and I never do that. It was a documentary. Anyhow, and I'm looking around, and my buddy and I are looking up, and we're saying, look at all these skyscrapers. Look at all these multimillion-dollar apartments empty. People just park their money there, Americans and foreigners, mainly foreigners. What does that do to the local economy? What's that do when someone wants to rent an apartment and it's a working class person? They can't afford it. Can't afford to live in San Francisco. Can't afford to live in Los Angeles. The have and have nots We've never seen such a disparity. Where's the protest? Where's the protest to change anything? Why aren't we protesting in any level of society, including and especially the professional class that knows the issues, are smart? Our number, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I want to hear from you, and I'll fit in as many calls as come in. But first, we start with the latest on health, and it talks about the foods. Now, there's always a diet, the paleo diet, a garbage diet, you know, the keto diet, a garbage diet, the high-protein diet, a dangerously garbage diet. We always have some fad making someone very wealthy. But why isn't it just about the food? Eating healthy foods, clean foods, organic foods, ideally locally grown foods to support local economy, lower your carbon footprint, and it's fresher? Yeah, a little bit we're doing that. But everybody knows that achieving or maintaining a healthy body, especially your weight, is one key to preventing cardiovascular disease and diabetes and cancer. The more overweight you are, the more susceptible you are to those diseases. But even so-called experts don't agree on the best way to achieve that goal. Well, with some recommending eliminating carbohydrates, the low-carb diet, the low-fat diet, the high-protein diet, but few studies have investigated the effects of these specific macronutrients on cardiovascular health. In a study published in the International Journal of Cardiology, researchers at Beth Israel Medical Center examined the effects of three healthy diets emphasizing different micronutrients. Healthy carbohydrates like brown rice and whole nuts and grains and seeds, and proteins and unsaturated fatty acids. And they measured these on the biomarkers that directly reflect heart injury. So using highly specific tests, the team found that all three diets, these are mainly plant-based diets, reduced heart cell damage and inflammation, and that's consistent. So don't look at the diet. Look at the health of the food in the diet. You need fats. You need healthy fats. You don't want arachidonic acid and saturated fats and trans fats. You need carbohydrates, but unrefined carbohydrates with their fibers intact and their nutrients intact. You don't need potato chips and pizzas and pretzels and white bread and pastas. You need high-quality protein, and you don't have to have any of that from an animal. You can get that, hey, a cup of rice, any whole grain, nuts and seeds. They'll give you that protein instead. By the way, I just saw a trailer this morning for a new film that's showing you some of the world's greatest athletes in track and field and basketball and football and weightlifting are vegans. And guess who produced the film? Jackie Chan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Cameron. So, good. I'm glad that I'm looking forward to seeing that film when it comes out. Elderberries are really good to help you deal with the congestion and the viruses and bacteria that you're going to get on an airplane. This is according to Griffith University, which is in Australia. So if you're a regular air traveler, try consuming elderberries. Sambucus, S-A-M-B-U-C-U-S, Nigra, N-I-G-R-A. Before you travel, like an hour before. This is published in the Journal of Nutrients, and it suggests that elderberries are a great natural medicine for the common cold, and it can reduce the duration and symptoms of common cold in air travelers. By the way, before I travel on a plane, and I try not to, but when I have to, I get to a long, I can't go to India by walking there. I always take a special concoction. Now, an upcoming program, I'm going to give you the concoctions that you should take if you're going to be doing traveling by car, by bus, by train, and by plane. And it'll take about 15 minutes to give it. But I never get sick. I mean, I'm here every day. I mean, this is it. And I'm out there, I'm putting in long days right now because we have this big anti-aging study coming up this and it's already, we're having our first meeting this Saturday. in any case, once we actually get everyone at the location, we start with all their blood workups and their physical exams, psychological exams. They're going through a battery of tests, my God. 67 tests we're testing for objective criteria before and then after. I'm going to do a daily Monday update. So I'll keep you all informed of what's happening as the test proceeds. And let's hope that we have some great outcomes. We'll see. You know, an awful lot of scientists around the world are aware of it, and we're getting a lot of feedback that no one's done this and it needs to be done. They're working in petri dishes. They're working on stem cells. They're looking for the next best thing there. And I'm showing we can actually create stem cells, even in an older person. Remember, by the time you're 65, 80% of your stem cells are gone that you had when you were born. So what if we're able to produce, with this protocol, youthful stem cells in older people? Saying can't be done? Maybe they're right. But then again, they said you can't break a 4-minute mile, and then Bannister did it. So let's see if we can do the impossible. And by the way, just as a final aside on that, the last 2 weeks of October, we're going to be doing our only health support group, our retreat. Ginger, get this. This is from the Rajiv Gandhi Center for Biotechnology in India. They say ginger is 10,000 times stronger than chemotherapy, Taxol specifically, in cancer research. And that's interesting. This is a very provocative study that reveals ginger contains a pungent compound that could be up to 10,000 times more effective than conventional chemotherapy in targeting the cancer stem cells at the root of cancer malignancy. And by the way, this is no crackbox study. This was published in the highly respected PLOS journal, and it reveals the pungent compound within the ginger is known as 6-Shogaol, S-H-O-G-A-O-L, and it's superior to conventional chemotherapy in targeting the root cause of breast cancer malignancy, namely the breast cancer stem cells. Now, as I've discussed in greater detail in previous discussion, the cancer stem cells is the key to curing cancer. And why not do it? I don't care how it's done. I mean, if you can get it done with breast cancer, not kill the patient, good, I support it. But unfortunately, a lot of people die using orthodox cancer therapy, and that's something that has not been fully acknowledged and responsibility taken, that maybe they should be looking in other areas. And sometimes this is called the mother cells because they're responsible for producing all the different daughter cell types that make up the tumor colony. And while cancer stem cells only constitute about 0.02 to 1% of cells within any given tumor, they have the seeming immortal ability to self-renew forever, and are capable of continuous differentiation, and they're resistant frequently to conventional chemotherapy agents, and they're tumorigenic, meaning they're capable of splitting off to create new tumor colonies. So clearly the cancer stem cells within a tumor must be destroyed if cancer treatment is to be effective and lasting cure. And ginger, that specific ingredient, was able to do exactly that, kill the stem cells. So I hope that more people began to look at that. Also, there's a study that links your body's clock to obesity and diabetes. This University of Otago, which is in New Zealand, which means that the time of day that you eat and how well you sleep can determine the outcome of obesity and diabetes. For example, you could have background lighting in your room and therefore you don't really get a good night's sleep. That can change your circadian rhythms. And this is what they found. And then that upsets the circadian rhythms. If they're out of balance, that's not good. That can cause all forms of problems in your biochemistry in the body, including leading to diabetes and obesity. So you don't want to disrupt your body's clock, and anything that interferes with it, like noise, light, even jet lag, shift work, bright light exposure at the wrong time of the day, can be detrimental to your health. So a good night's sleep in a good environment is very important. And finally, there is a protective effect for the maternal effect on folic acid supplementation on childhood cancers. This is a meta-analysis from the Malaysian Department of Health. So according to the news reports out of Lumpur in Malaysia, they found that when a mother is taking folic acid supplementation, that is very important to preventing congenital malformations. Everyone knows that. But very few people know that it's also folic acid by the mother can reduce childhood cancers. That's a big deal. And this was done in the Department of Community Health and at the university. So, and it was from PubMed. It was up there. So take a look. They looked at 17 studies. So if you're pregnant, take your folic acid. You could be preventing childhood cancer. Oh, by the way, yesterday I was talking about, I did a report on Wikipedia and Stephen Barrett and how they, you know, that Barrett was saying, you know, that animal proteins are okay and it's, we shouldn't be all fearful. This is from the latest of Center for Nutrition Studies at Cornell University. Quote, animal protein is linked to death. Okay. This particular released shows that two very large American study populations, female nurses and male health professionals, those that consume the most animal protein compared to plant protein had a higher risk of death, particularly cardiovascular disease. The finding was limited to those who also had one other lifestyle risk factor, such as physical inactivity or smoking. But breaking it down into specific foods, researchers found that that when you had plants in the diet, like healthy vegan plants, you protected your heart. But when you ate red meat, you had a 34% differentiation in heart disease death. Big deal. So we need to watch our eating, but get rid of the meat and live a longer life and have less risk, 40% less risk of heart disease death and 28% reduced risk of cancer death. On the same topic, from Neuromed Institute in Italy, the Mediterranean diet, which is principally, not completely, they use a lot of fish and minimal meat, but they associated a lower risk of death in cardiovascular disease patients with that Mediterranean diet. So have a Mediterranean diet, had a vegan diet, had a vegetarian diet, and you're going to live a longer life and have less risk of dying. Scripps Research Institute says that scientists now have found a new light on the role of calcium in learning and memory. And while calcium's importance for our bones and teeth is well known, its role in neurons in particular, its effects on processes such as learning and memory has been less well defined. In a new study published in the journal Cell Reports, scientists from the Florida campus of the Scripps Research Institute offer new insights how calcium in mitochondria, the powerhouses of our cells, can impact the development of the brain and adult cognition. Now, why is that important? Because you know there's a problem when you go into a room and you forget why you went in. Or someone says, what did you eat last night? And you've forgotten. Now, you can remember something from 30 years ago, but not short-term memory. That's almost always a red flag, cognition's being impaired. And also, you're not able to intellectually couple issues together easily. It's like everything has to be explained multiple times before you finally get it. That's a loss of cognition. In particular, the team showed in this study, in a laboratory, that blocking a channel that brings calcium to the mitochondria, called the mitochondrial calcium unimporter, causes memory impairment but does not alter learning capacity. So what they found is that you want to make sure that you have adequate calcium in the diet. It's always best to take equal amounts of calcium and magnesium, and also try to stay away from pro-inflammatory items. And that way you'll get a better absorption of your calcium and your memory and cognition will improve. Now, there's positive evidence for melatonin in breast cancer battle, and that's from Michigan State University. The article was published in Genes and Cancer and describes how melatonin, that's the hormone that facilitates sleep and builds up our immune system, suppresses breast cancer growth. Cancer stem cells, as we know, and according to this study, pose a challenge in cancer treatment, and as these cells can drive tumor growth and are resistant to chemotherapy. Well, they found that melatonin exerts its effects against the cancer stem cells through estrogen receptor pathway in cancer cells. And so the takeaway message here is simple. If you want to have a less likelihood of cancer of the breast, make sure you're getting a good night's sleep or that you're taking maybe 1 to 3 milligrams of calcium each evening, which will help. Also, moderate physical activity is linked with 50% reduction in cardiovascular death if you're over 65. This is according to the University of Oulu in Finland. So what do I mean? It's simple. Moderate physical activity, meaning you're not really overstressing yourself, is going to reduce your risk of dying of a heart attack or some form of congestive heart problem. The 12-year study with 2,500 adults, 65 to 74, found that moderate physical activity reduced the risk of acute cardiovascular events by more than 30%. Now, that's just one item. We know that taking a healthy plant-based diet reduces it. We know that de-stressing appropriately reduces it. We also know that taking proper supplements like coenzyme Q10, magnesium, reduces it also. If you're doing all this, you should not be as concerned about having a cardiovascular event. Remember, walking, cycling, and practicing other forms of light exercise, running, jogging, skiing, gymnastics, swimming, these are all important. Also, separate from our health nutrition information, you've all heard the statistics, the official government statistics. We have about a 3.6% unemployment rate. The numbers are great. We haven't had this few Americans unemployed in decades, almost a half a century. But they're lies. It's who do you believe? Well, I challenge all government statistics because how often have they been wrong? Instead, you look at what is called shadow statistics. Now, shadow statistics are very important. These are the real economic numbers. The real economic numbers, 21.5% unemployment, 10% inflation, and negative economic growth. And that's what is being shown. In fact, what about the 103 million Americans that once worked full-time and now they can't work full-time? And it could go up as high as 22% unemployment. That's more realistic. When I was traveling all over the country filming Poverty Inc., I found whole communities where nobody was working. You wouldn't know it from the government statistics. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to take a brief break. We're 27 minutes in the program, and I'm seeing here that we have, before we take our break, I said I'd take some calls. We have calls up. In fact, all the lines are filled. That's good. And let me just take a look here and say, Gwen from Harlem, you're on the air. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. I'm glad you're bringing up the activism and protesting. And I hope you don't mind. I just want to add one more thing because I think it's really important. Right now, 5 churches are being taken down in Harlem. Many churches are also going down in Manhattan, and these are very significant buildings. These are buildings that are over 100 years old. I mean, one of the wonderful things about being in Harlem is looking at these gorgeous structures. And they're going down because the ministers claim they can't keep up the churches, and they're selling them out for one church. There's one church right now on 126th Street and Madison Avenue, Calvary, which was sold for only $16 million, and it's only going to produce 8 stories of apartments for luxury and a parking garage. And this is what I call cannibalistic capitalism. And it's happening all over our city, as you know. 37% of the businesses are out of business, and now churches are going full throttle into the business of building high rises. There's another high rise that's going up on a 33-story building on Central Park West that's going to be funded by or being bankrolled by another church in Harlem. They're going to tear down their 100-year-old building, and that's what they're going to do. The one building I'm talking about is so significant, it's equivalent to St. Patrick's Cathedral. So if you can think of tearing that down, then that's what we're looking at tearing down. And what we're doing is exactly what you were talking about. We're building luxury condominiums, luxury apartments, which I don't think we're ever going to be able to fill them because I don't think the economy is going to stay healthy for that long. But I now want to go over to the protesting. I've been an activist for many years. And while my husband was alive, I was able to take time to go down and you know, be more active. Or when I had lulls in my work, I could really get out there. But now I have to go to work 5 days a week. And when I go to work, I see more and more women. I guess it's the good thing is that we're being allowed to continue to work older and older. But I mean, women are having to work into their 70s because they can't not work or they're going to end up homeless. And so all of our time gets eaten up by having to go to work and having so little energy left when you come home, you just feel like you can't even get up off the couch when you get home. And I know this is all being done on purpose. This is, you know, done to run us out so we can't even get out there and do what we need to do. So I guess the only thing that I can recommend to people is do what you can that's in front of you. Because there is a saying in life that some is better than none. And I think one of the things that really I find annoying about people is they like to throw all of the responsibility on one person. I often hear people call you and say, that's great for all the work you do. It's true. You do all the work. But it would be so much better if everybody else took a piece and helped to get the work done. And it'd be so much more effective if everybody would show up and do a little piece of this work instead of just saying to one person, listen, we really love what you do, but you know, we're going to go and do what we do instead. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to have to start doing. And I think one of the easiest ways to protest one of the biggest issues now on the planet is to not buy any red meat, because this guy Bolsonaro is tearing down those rainforests so he can create pasture for cattle. Well, you know what? Let's give him a surprise that there's not going to be any business for your business because we're not going to participate by buying your product. Not only is it bad for us to eat, but it's really, really bad for the whole planet because of what's happening with the rainforest. So there's just a couple of things on my mind. And I was, you know, I'm even hoping that maybe someday you could do a little, or I can help. Maybe we could do a program about some of the disappearing beautiful structures in Manhattan. And, you know, I don't think it's willy-nilly. I think that people love to live in a community where they're familiar with places. And I think it's on the agenda to tear down these places so people don't feel comfortable anymore. I mean, one of the best ways to clear out a poor neighborhood is first you get rid of the supermarket, and then, of course, you get rid of all the public schools, and then the churches. These are all places where people meet. These are gathering places. These are safe places. But once you get rid of them, people need to start finding other places to go. And in poor neighborhoods, this is one of the best ways of breaking the back of the people that live there.
Gwen, let's go over a few of the things you've said, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing your empathy to the issues and the people who are adversely affected. We have to stop participating as individuals in the power structure that exploits the middle class and the poor. Meaning, if you saw the I'm pulling aside my shirt here to show this is a shirt made by union labor. It takes a little extra effort to do that, you know, to find clothes that are not being made in exploitive conditions like in Bangladesh where women make 14 cents an hour. And if I have to pay more for it, I'm happy to pay more for it because I know that then that no one is suffering because of they're not having to lose a quality of life because I want to benefit from saving something. And the same thing with food. If I have a choice, like I did this past weekend, of going to the farmer's market over in front of the museum and buying some fresh peaches and some other food, that's much better than just buying it in a supermarket where it could be commercially grown and with pesticides, including glyphosate. So if we start to look at how can we, to the degree we can, get off the grid, and as you say, any improvement's better than no improvement, and start to really make a difference. Now, let's go to the most important point I believe you stated. Oh, by the way, I think it would be a good idea to do a little project, and you could head that project, and I could get you as many people as you need to start photographing and doing video bios of the history of all the important places in all of the neighborhoods, and not just Harlem, but the history of that neighborhood, the history of the people who once lived on those streets, some of the greatest minds and people in America's history, real legends. We walk right by, you know, and don't understand. They lived here, but what did they do in their lifetime? And the younger people in particular have a deficiency in historical relevance. So if we taught them about the people who allowed them to have the quality of life and freedoms that they do have today, and that could be a whole series. You could do those as a podcast, and that way we could focus upon the buildings, the churches, as you mentioned, but other buildings. You know, like right now in China, the Chinese government is destroying the Christian churches. Where's the outcry? There is no outcry. You know, they've imprisoned more than a million of the Uyghurs, the Muslim sect, and they're harvesting their organs. We reported that 12 years ago when we had one of those people who escaped in on the show. Nothing's been done. Now, so we have to focus upon an issue, focus upon what we can do to protect that church, even if it means going to the community and getting the church, which are nonprofit, but at least get them where the city will put enough money into them to keep them together, just like a public school. Otherwise, you're going to end up having all these schools, as you mentioned, they're not going to be funded properly. The money's going to go into the administrators and the people who, it doesn't trickle down to the students, the quality of their curriculum, or the teachers, and that's where it should be. It goes to private schools and the more affluent neighborhoods and more affluent schools. So there are solutions, but it, underlying all that is the idea that if our life is so busy, if it is so packed, including working, but spending a lot of time on the internet, a lot of time socializing, then why aren't we more concerned about just the survival of the planet and the people on it? And that means we have to take a different approach. Just asking for people to show up and protest is not enough. The people who would may, and the people who are not interested are never going to. And that means 99% of the people are never going to show up for anything except what benefits them. But here's what we can do, and we can do it today. We can start right now. Jesse, would you ask one of our attorneys to come in, please? Okay, we're going to do something today. We're going to start. I'm going to, in a moment, when we hang up, I'm going to read our latest challenge to Wikipedia, and specifically to Stephen Barrett, who is the primary source and resource, completely biased on all these issues, but they're using it. Now, Britannica Encyclopedia would never use, you know, these sources because they're not qualified. But Wikipedia, where most people trust the information, uses it. As a result, people just brush off all these good quality alternative therapies that could save lives or improve the quality of your life. So we can start by protesting. I'm going to show you what I consider the fraud of Wikipedia. And just coming in the studio now is one of our attorneys who's working exclusively on this. We've already been sending out letters to the people we intend to sue, and you got to see the response, but I won't get into that now. So we can all get together and say, okay, Wikipedia, you say that it's an open source, we can all edit anything, right? Yeah. No, you can't. That's a lie. You can't. And we're going to give you a specific example. And then we're posting. Could you post up on our site the letter you wrote to Wikipedia with all the corrections on my own personal biography showing they were wrong on everything they were stating?
Yes.
And it says it's up there right now. So Jesse just posted, all right? So I want everyone in this audience to go to Wikipedia and try to edit my biography. Now, if they're honest to their claim and to their mission statement, you should have no problem. I should have no problem. I can't edit my own. They put it up there clearly with the intention of trying to destroy my reputation. Thank goodness for my core audience over 40 years before it went up there. They know the truth of who I am and what I do, and it's not quackery. It's something they can't imagine to accomplish in their own lives. But now that's a lie. So if they lied about me, then ask, could you change Deepak Chopra's? Could you edit it? No. How about the great scientist, one of the greatest minds in the history of civilization, Rupert Sheldrake? And no. How about Cheryl Atkinson? No. How about any of the people they attack? The answer is no. You can't edit them. Yet they say you can edit them. That's not true. Am I telling the actual facts here? This is Neil.
Yes. You're telling the actual facts, Gary. The truth is that for any subject matter that is important to any particular interest group, there's going to be controls over who can edit and what they can edit.
But the people editing are all people with biases, people who have an ideology, people who have a political or personal emesis, and therefore they don't want anything changed. And I don't create any of that. They create the bio, and then they keep people from changing it. What kind of organization does that? Where's the legitimacy in the intellectual integrity of not allowing people that they have chosen to attack not be able to correct anything? They're acting as a judge and jury and executioner. Since when does American jurisprudence allow that to happen? Since when do those milksops in Congress who've allowed Google and allowed Facebook, are they in someone's pocket? How much money does it take to buy a politician? Because maybe that's where we should be spending our money. If however much Google got and the Clintons got, why don't we just say, we the people want to see how easy it is to buy influence? Well, we wouldn't stoop to that low of degenerate state of mind. Yet that's exactly what's happened on Wikipedia and Google and Facebook. These are, in my opinion, these are evil to the core. So whoever's doing good work is being destroyed, and the people who are part of the fake news establishment, the totalitarian fascist state, are those rewarded. So let's let the people in the audience take this challenge. Go to prn.fm. You will see front and center Neil's detailed, meticulous, and scholarly changes that had to be made to make my biography accurate or to take it off. They chose not to take it off. Oh, are they going to pay for that? You have no idea. I don't blink and I don't bluff. When I say I'm coming after you, friends, trust me on that. But I'm doing it with an intellect, with nonviolence, and using the court system, as they will certainly soon see. All right? Because I'm doing this for everyone else that's been, who have no form, who don't have the largest form in the world on progressive radio as I do. I can speak out and I will, but what about the people who are helpless? What about the people like Deepak? They don't have a form. Rupert Sheldrake doesn't have a form. Is that accurate or not, Glenn?
No.
Neil?
That's very accurate, Gary. This, whatever this is, it is not an encyclopedia. It is just a collection of entrenched interest groups taking advantage of a law that was meant to protect the Internet 20 years ago when it was brand new.
But every legislator in Congress knows it, and if they don't know it, they shouldn't be in Congress. You can't be that stupid, that intentionally ignorant of something that's this important. And that tells me that they've been compromised. So I don't trust the legislators. They should have taken away that just like they should have rescinded the indemnification for the vaccine industry. Make the vaccine, if they're going to profit off, you know, putting poisons in people's bodies and saying it's not your body, it's the government's body, it's Big Pharma's body, then your body belongs to Big Pharma. That's what this comes down to. And the government is siding, and the news media and the crap heads at the New York Times, God, is that a worthless? The National Enquirer has more integrity than the New York Times. And these sycophants over there, who the dilettante liberal community, God, are they a disgusting group. So let's start standing up for our rights and speak out, speak your mind. Now, you, even if you work a full day, you can go home and take 5 minutes to write Wikipedia and try to change it. And if you can't change it, then raise hell and to Jimmy Wales, the emperor king of the Internet. Yeah. Jimmy, I don't think you're going to like the article we got coming at you, but it'll be up next week. In any case, that's what you can do. Try to make changes and then see the lie that you can't make changes. You can't edit, but certain people in their inner group and anonymous people, they can control it. This is, my God, this is equivalent to the Inquisition.
This is the modern-day version of the Inquisition. Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, the Grand Inquisitor. Well, we're going after him. We're going to show him up. Okay? Gwen, you got that? You up on that, Gwen?
I'm on it.
Okay. So remember, they say in there, right up there, they say that if you're biased, you can't contribute to someone's, a living person's bio. The only people contributing to my bio and all the other bios are people who are biased. Stephen Barrett is the top person. So let's pull away. Boycott Wikipedia. Raise hell with Wikipedia. Let Jimmy Wales personally know that he should close the door, turn the goddamn thing off, and everybody find a legitimate place for their real information. So let's get on that. Everyone in this audience, if you care about the truth, because when they lie and they get away with it and you don't pay attention to it, then what else are they going to lie about that's going to impact you? Thank you, Gwen. I appreciate your call. And this is an article that we just finished about an hour ago. And I want to thank Amy and Neil and Rich and everyone who worked on this. It's called, How Can Wikipedia Get It So Wrong About Homeopathy? In 2014, Dana Ullman, that's Ullman, who is regarded as America's leading advocate for homeopathy and an author and publisher of over 35 books about alternative medical systems, bumped into Wikipedia's co-founder, Jimmy Wales, in Vancouver. Now, over the years, Wales is on record showing a gross animosity against homeopathy and has publicly put his support behind the efforts to discredit it. After a verbal exchange over Ullman's concerns about the online encyclopedia's unwarranted bias and misinformation under its homeopathic entry, Ullman published an article entitled Dysfunction at Wikipedia on Homeopathic Medicine. Now, that was as a response to Mr. Wales. At the time of the article was written, Wikipedia described homeopathy, quote, as a pseudoscience and its remedies have been found to be no more effective than placebos, end quote. Ullman wrote, quote, it is more than a tad ironic that this first paragraph in Wikipedia article on homeopathy references only one article that was published in a peer-reviewed medical journal. In particular, he takes issue with a reference study by Shang and associates and informs Wells that, quote, listen, this is what you're not getting from the media or Wikipedia. Quote, it has been thoroughly discredited, meaning the one article that tried to discredit homeopathy itself was discredited. Ullman cites an article published in the Journal of Clinical Epidemiology, which found that Shang and his associates' analysis failed to review, quote, higher quality, end quote, medical trials. If it had done so, the analysis would have been a positive conclusion confirming homeopathy's efficacy in treating certain illnesses. Consequently, the review concluded that Shang's study was biased by, quote, arbitrarily defining one subset, end quote, and deemed, quote, the entire review was falsely negative, end quote. Now, did the media get that message? No. Did Wikipedia correct itself? No. Did anyone of these skeptics and these people at Wikipedia say, God, we got this wrong. Let's correct our mistake? No. After presenting a partial list of studies on homeopathy, Ullman asked Wales if he could, quote, name me one other system of pseudoscience that has a similar body of randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, positive clinical trials published in high-impact medical journals showing efficacy of treatment, end quote. Dead air. 5 years later, Wikipedia's homeopathy entry is even more disparaging, despite Ullman's prevision of reliable references debunking the studies the entry relies upon. The encyclopedia now reads, quote, homeopathy is a pseudoscience, a belief that is incorrectly presented as scientific. And then goes on from there, debunking it. Well, Wikipedia skeptic editors, they have refused to properly correct the entry to more accurately educate the encyclopedia's massive audience. And Stephen Barrett, the founder of Quackwatch, a skeptic clearinghouse of harsh criticisms against non-conventional medical theories and practices, is also responsible for Wikipedia's misinformation about homeopathy. The entry references Barrett's article, quote, homeopathy, the ultimate fake. a very outdated paper that relies primarily on studies published over 20 years ago, and a couple of direct Wikipedia references to Barrett's paper state, then goes on to this prominent physicist. Well, that physicist has been challenged. And even the math that they were using to determine homeopathy is just water is not true. And that's been completely debunked. What they're engaged in is nothing more than unscientific statements. In fact, the Washington Post criticized the book by this so-called expert for its strong reliance on, quote, sensational news stories rather than hard scientific research. And Barrett's reference to dilution is not based upon accurate mathematics. By the way, Barrett and people, a 30C potency of homeopathic medicines is diluted through a course of 30 vials of water, not what you were suggesting. Okay, the nonsensical math of 30 billion Earths is ludicrous at best. Dana Allman addresses Barrett's reference to the study. He, quote, when skeptics of homeopathy reference the number, it is wrong. So in conclusion, and I'm skipping over 80% of the article that you can read for yourself, there is an article published in the highly respected American Chemistry Society verifies that nanoparticles of homeopathic medicine persist in solution even after they were diluted 1 to 106 times, 30 times, and even 200 times. So homeopathy works. But obviously, there are a lot of people who just can't wrap their minds around how energy in water works at all. It's not only dangerous to have incorrect and incomplete information on Wikipedia, but the references contain links where readers will find further misinformation about homeopathy. And that's unfortunate. But here's what we've done. We've included references to Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal, peer-reviewed journal. Barrett says that takes issue with a study about homeopathy's efficacy to treat childhood diarrhea that was published in the peer review and respective Pediatrics Effects Journal. Allman sent this study to Jimmy Wells in his response letter. In his article, Barrett argued that, quote, the study had questionable clinical significance, no public health significance, because the only remedy needed for mild childhood diarrhea is adequate fluid intake to prevent and correct dehydration, end quote. Barrett's bias against the study having, quote, no public health significance displays a serious lack of knowledge about childhood diseases and severity. So let me put notice to Barrett and Wikipedia on that statement. According to the World Health Organization, quote, diarrheal disease is the second leading cause of death in children under the age of 5. Each year, diarrhea kills around 525,000 children under 5. Globally, there are nearly 1.7 billion cases of childhood diarrhea disease every year. Diarrhea is a leading cause of malnutrition in children under 5 years of age, end quote. Moreover, perhaps Barrett is unaware that the world's poorest families that suffer the most from gastrointestinal disease and diarrhea causing parasites do so because of highly polluted water. Any sane person would agree that a non-conventional treatment for 1.7 billion children carries, quote, public health significance. As far as the reliability of homeopathy studies published in the journal Pediatrics, subsequent reviews had acknowledged that it met the high standards. To say that homeopathic medicines are prescribed, quote, arbitrarily, simply means that Barrett and Wikipedia skeptics don't fully comprehend homeopathy's underlying principles and refused to understand its methodology. The study was repeated twice by other homeopathic practitioners, and the replication of these studies verified the efficacy of homeopathic medicines. So, what do we have on one side? We have a group of skeptics in Wikipedia saying homeopathy doesn't work. And on the other side, well, we have a little bit more. We have an enormous body of scientific literature, and we've attached it to this article today. And in that attachment, you will find 1,200, that's 1,200 studies that have been published in peer-reviewed, highly respected medical journals on homeopathy. And some are extremely strong and very positive and promising results. Wikipedia, on the other hand, only presents unscientific biases in order to emphasize homeopathic's uselessness. Perhaps Stephen Barrett should be more concerned about the bias shown in Wikipedia and his own writings rather than the poor and distorted studies skeptics rely upon to continue their ceaseless attacks on homeopathy. In conclusion, homeopathy has a substantial body of quality science to support its safety and efficacy. Some countries such as France and Switzerland have incorporated the practice into its national health programs, and this was only done after careful and critical analysis and review of the scientific literature. What is missing from Barrett and Wikipedia's invective is clinical experience. Barrett is a former licensed psychiatrist. None of Wikipedia's anonymous skeptic editors have any sound academic or clinical background in the medical subjects they criticize. Hundreds of millions of people have benefited from homeopathy. Consequently, Wikipedia is promoting individual and collective bias that is founded on personal animus, disdain, and antagonism on behalf of its own ideology to harm an effective and popular medical intervention that has internationally been recognized for benefiting patients for over 200 years. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening and watching, and do that simple act. If you believe that Wikipedia doesn't allow bias, that's in its rules, its bylaws, and if you believe anybody can edit anything, try it. And when you see the lies that are foundational to anything involving the health people they want to attack and crucify with impunity, then that should get your dander up a bit. We'll be back tomorrow, taking on the establishment as we do every single day. Have a nice day, everyone.